Sorry, Mr. Mayor. We have no petitions or joint letters for consideration this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Resumption of debate or other business carried over from previous meeting?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Public question time.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We have a number of questions from the public to be considered this evening. The first question is from Anna Bardsley, and is Ms. Bardsley in the gallery? Yes, she is. Okay. There are two questions submitted by Ms. Bardsley. The first is, at first the pokies seemed harmless fun, but it spiralled into addiction when I went to escape the pain in my life. Two of my five children had died and my marriage was broken, but the pokies ended up causing even more harm to my family and me. I lost 10 years of my life to poker machine addiction. My two youngest surviving children currently live in Melton, and I don't want them or their friends and families to be exposed to the risk of gambling addiction, particularly at a time when gambling losses, advertising and prevalence has never been worse. Therefore, considering the harm we know comes from pokies, could the councillors please address the question as to how they think it is responsible for Melton to enter into a long-term pokies joint venture with the socially irresponsible Essendon Football Club? In response to that, and I know you've asked for councillors to provide a response, council does have a responsible gaming policy which is addressed in the council report that will be considered at a later item in this evening's agenda. Also, councillors will have the opportunity in the course of considering that item to put forward their views on the matter. It's up to you, Mr. Mayor, whether you wish to allow councillors the opportunity to make comment now or...
We'll wait till the position.
Okay. Second part of the question is, I would like to hear from the Chief Executive as to why the officer report into the proposed 29-year, $9 million pokies lease to Essendon Football Club doesn't mention any of the following facts. One, in 2017-18, Melton was targeted by the AFL industry and suffered $27.7 million in AFL club-sponsored pokies losses, the most of any Victorian municipality, and 28.4% of the total $97.54 million lost at the 17 Victorian AFL club pokies venues. The current trend is for AFL clubs to divest their pokies, as we've seen with Collingwood, Melbourne and Western Bulldogs. So a new long-term joint venture between Essendon and Melton will go against this trend, consequently setting back the gambling reform movement. Three, Australians are the world's biggest gamblers, and August 2018 saw the biggest monthly loss on pokies ever in Melton, when gamblers lost $6.16 million and losses were up by 9.5% to a record $67.8 million in the 12 months to the end of October 2018. Therefore, should council do something to try and reverse this trend, such as removing pokies from council-owned facilities? So, in response to that, I again point out that council does have a responsible gambling policy which has been formally adopted by the council, and you will hear that addressed in the report this evening. The club is located in a situation that is consistent with that policy and has existing planning approval. The venue generally accords with the council policy, and the officer's report is prepared having regard to the adopted council policy rather than any assessment of any other matters. In respect to the specific items you raised in those three points. It is correct, as we understand, that AFL associated entities operate a number of venues within the city of Melton. The trend for AFL clubs to divest their pokies is really a matter between the AFL and their responsible clubs. We do note that poker machines are a legal form of gambling. And third, the comments in relation to Australians being the biggest gamblers, I don't dispute those comments. However, in respect of the report in relation to the club venue, I very much take the view that that all of those matters were considered in council developing its gaming policy, and therefore the officers responsibly deal with what is in the adopted gaming policy when preparing the report for council. So thank you very much for your question, and the matter will be considered further at the item on the agenda. Next question is from Megan Wells. Is Miss Wells in the gallery? Okay. Again, there are two questions from Miss Wells. The first is, given that the City of Melton has $133 million of cash in the bank and doesn't need $300,000 a year in pokies rental payments from Essendon Football Club, has Council considered converting the Melton Country Club into the Melton RSL and offering the diggers a peppercorn rent to run the facility as a pokies-free venue after the current lease expires in February 2022? I guess to answer that, firstly, Council hasn't specifically considered that proposition. However, councillors did request staff to investigate what alternative uses might be appropriate for the club, and also to advise on what the circumstance surrounding the club was prior to it being leased to Essendon initially. And that information was provided to councillors for their consideration. Also note your comment about council having $133 million in the bank, in inverted commas. The vast majority of that is restricted cash and statutory reserves, so it's not available for council general use. Council also faces a significant shortfall in terms of its liability for infrastructure in the growth areas in coming years, and council has consciously sought to establish something of a buffer to place itself in the best possible position to deal with those shortfalls in the precinct structure plan areas that it will be facing, which are some hundreds of millions of dollars over the coming decades. So whilst it's not strictly a financial question whether a council extends this lease or not, that is the response in respect of the $133 million that council currently has. Question two is, were representatives from Essendon Football Club invited to a councillor briefing session before tonight? And if so, why wasn't the same opportunity granted to opponents of the proposed pokies lease, such as representatives from the Alliance for Gambling Reform? In response to that, I would comment that council has regular communication with Essendon Football Club as it is a tenant, including briefings to the councillors. And this is really a common practice between landlords and tenants, and is a methodology to assist in the management of the tenant-landlord relationship. As set out in the council report, which will be dealt with later in the evening, There were two separate public notices published in Melton and Morville Star Weekly newspaper in accordance with the Local Government Act, and both of those public notices invited members of the public to make a submission and to express if they wished to be heard in person. No submissions were received in relation to the first public notice, which was in March this year. A submission was received from the Alliance for Gambling Reform in relation to the second public notice. That submission included, amongst other things, extracts from three emails from the Alliance for Gambling Reform to councillors, dated 10th of July, 18th of July and 12th of October 2018. The extracts of the emails of 10th of July and 12th of October included a statement to the effect that the representatives would also be happy to come to a councillor briefing session on this matter if there was interest. Excuse me. The submission did not include or express a desire of the Alliance for Gambling Reform to be heard in person on the lease proposal. As no submitter expressed the desire to be heard in person, no public hearing was held. So thank you for your questions as well. The next series of questions, and there are a number that we have received, all relate to a planning permit issue that is on the agenda later in the meeting also. In order to be time efficient with dealing with this matter, I propose to read out all the questions and then have our planning and development general manager provide a single response to all of the questions, because there's a lot of duplication. So first questions are from Karen Harris. Is Ms. Harris in the gallery? Yes. Questions read: it's difficult enough for a car to get down the road with cars parked on both sides of the road as it is. How is a garbage truck meant to achieve it? And secondly, is the mighty dollar more important than the rights of the people who have lived on Rosina Drive for many decades? Next questions on similar matter are from Judith Robles, is also in the gallery, who asks: it is not uncommon for a family to have two or three vehicles, as each residence provides only one parking space. There may well be excess vehicles parked in Rosina Drive, and these number of vehicles could potentially increase if residents are entertaining. My question is, does council have a plan to limit or even restrict parking in Rosina Drive? Next question is from Terry Manning. Mr. Manning is in the gallery, who asks: do the council agree that removing homes in established areas with two or more houses, that by doing so the number of houses, people and cars will rapidly increase over time, resulting in more noise, more traffic jams and more parking problems, which will clearly impact on the quality of life for all concerned. The end result being that what was once a peaceful, comfortable and pleasant place to live becomes an overcrowded nightmare. The next questions are from Alice Lohman, who's also in the gallery. First question is, does any member live in Rosina Drive or have a rental property, or even imagine what it would be like to maybe in the future have 4x2 or 4x4 dwellings built on either side of their own home, which they may have called home for 40 plus years? And secondly, what plans does council have to rectify the already total congestion now getting out of Rosina Drive into Barry's Road, Coburn's, which leads to six directions? Please spend time at peak hour and see for yourself. Next question is from Rhoda Manning, who's also in the gallery, and asks, Are the residents of Melton expected to accept homes being demolished and replaced by developer and investors and replacing them with two or more houses and additional cars without complaining at the deteriorating standard of living? The next one's from Noel Yuen, who's also in the gallery. First question is, has anybody thought about the loss of sunlight for solar panels, which the government want on all houses? A house next to one of these high-rise apartments would lose all of the afternoon sun and therefore be unable to generate power for most of the afternoon. And secondly, how many multi-storey dwellings would you plan on allowing in Rosina Drive area? So there are all the questions in relation to Rosina Drive, and Mr. Luke Shannon, General Manager of Planning and Development, will provide an overall response.
Thank you very much for your questions. I'll do my best to answer those as specifically as I can. And I do note that Council will be considering later this evening a report and an officer recommendation on the proposed development. That's at item 12.17. I do note that the issues of concern that you've raised are largely similar to those raised in the objections, and they're detailed and addressed within the officer's report tonight. Just in broad terms, the issues that Council is required to consider when considering a planning permit application such as this is, firstly, Council is actually required to consider every application on its merits, so every site, every proposal is different and peculiar to the particular site and the environment concerned, but Council cannot simply just not consider an application. It must, by law, consider an application, as it will do tonight. There are broadly three specific elements that Council needs to have regard to when determining on an application such as this. Firstly, it must have regard to the objections or letters of support, if there are any that are received, and those have been articulated again quite well by you tonight. So, as I pointed out, Council will consider that in more detail later this evening. Council must also have regard to its own planning policies, and in a broad sense, Council is experiencing these types of developments across the municipality, particularly in close proximity to existing services, and Council's current policy is to generally try and promote these activities or these developments in close proximity to existing infrastructure such as schools, shopping centres, parks and the like, and I do note that Rosina Drive has a number of those elements and is conveniently located, particularly to the Woodgrove Shopping Centre and the Melton Secondary College, but that's not the only consideration, but that is one of them. The other key consideration is state government policy or state government mandate, particularly referred to as RES code, and that sets out certain standards in regards to parking requirements, overshadowing, overlooking, setbacks of buildings from boundaries. That's actually prescribed at a state government level, and Council must have regard to that. And those issues are specifically addressed within the officer's report this evening. And broadly, the proposal does meet those RES code requirements in terms of setbacks and overlooking, but I do accept that what's proposed is considerable change to what you've enjoyed over many, many years, and I'm sure Council do acknowledge that themselves. Just in terms of a number of the specific issues that you've raised, a lot of which focuses around traffic concerns, traffic management, and particularly with Barry's Road and getting out onto Coburn's Road and so forth. Council is in discussions with Vic Roads currently regarding improvements to the intersection of Barry's Road and Coburn's Road, and that's an area that falls under Vic Roads' responsibility, particularly to try and achieve a dedicated right-hand turn lane out of Barry's Road, which I know causes significant delays at peak times, and also providing traffic signals at the corner of High Street and Coburn's Road, which I know is somewhat distant from this site, but it will provide for better traffic movement in the area. There's no question, however, that if the development does proceed, there will be increased traffic in the immediate neighbourhood. Whilst the proposal does provide for some on-site car parking, which does meet the minimum standards, there will no doubt be additional traffic within the street network. The issues in terms of garbage trucks being able to access the site, that could be challenging. However, our waste management team are satisfied that that can be managed, assuming that residents park appropriately and legally. Again, that would obviously need to be monitored over time. The other issues that you've raised, I think, really relate to the rate of change and the increased intensity of development around the immediate neighbourhood, and clearly going from one house to four houses, that will change if the development does proceed. And they're part of the considerations that Council must have regard to tonight in determining the application itself. I hope I've covered most of the issues you've raised. You will receive a written response to your specific question tonight, so I'll be able to provide further particulars regarding this specific matters if I haven't addressed those generally tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sherman. The next question this evening is from David O'Connor, and I can't see Mr. O'Connor in the gallery this evening. As Mr. O'Connor is well aware, one needs to be in the gallery for it to be answered at the council meeting. If the submitter of the question is not in the gallery, a written response only is provided rather than the matter being dealt with at the meeting. So, consequently, a written response will be provided to Mr. O'Connor. Therefore, that concludes public questions this evening, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Torrey. Move on. Presentation of staff reports. Item 12.1, authorisation of fixing of the Common Seal of Council. Councillor Ramsay.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move the following items in block, and please, anyone correct me if I'm wrong. They are 12.1, 12.6, 12.7, 12.11, and 12.14.
Moved by Councillor Ramsay. Do you have a seconder?
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second that.
Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I beg your indulgence, please? Just hearing the questions in the gallery, I noticed that there's quite a few for items 12.16 and 17. I know that we've already gone through changes of the order of business, but is there any way we could hear 12.16 and 12.17 after we hear 12.4, just so those items can be bumped up on the agenda, if councillors are happy with that?
Does any council object?
No.
No problem. And just to explain this to people in the gallery, in block means that the items that were mentioned in block, which was items 1, 6, 7, 11 and 14, when councillors vote on them, they vote them as one, and the decision taken as one, accepting the officer's recommendations.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move Councillor Madelick's proposal.
Moving.
Seconded,
that's fine. Moved by Councillor Madelick, seconded by Councillor Ramsay. All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Okay, we'll move on to 12.2. Advisory Committee of Councils, agreed meeting minutes. Mr. Torrey.
Mr. Mayor, could I move this as is, except for the minor adjustment that myself, Councillor Madelick, I actually was an apology for that meeting. I wasn't chairing. If we could make those changes to the minutes, I'm happy to move the minutes as is.
Move by Councillor Madelick. Do I have a second? Seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Move by Councillor Madelick. Seconded by Councillor Ramsay. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. 12.3, Lease, Mountain Country Club. Ms. Daniel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to present to Council all relevant information for it to make a final decision as to whether or not to enter into a new lease with the Essendon Football Club, which would replace the existing lease in relation to the property known as the Melton Country Club at 28 to 30 Reserve Road, Melton. And I'll say at the outset that the Essendon Football Club have an existing lease which expires at the end of February 2022.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
There's a little bit more to come, Councillor. Okay. At the ordinary meeting of Council on the 26th of March 2018, Council resolved, amongst other things, to consider entering into a new lease with the Essendon Football Club to replace the existing lease that I've just mentioned, and to commence that process by placing a public notice in a local newspaper calling for submissions in relation to that proposed lease, which, including further terms, was for 29 years. A public notice is required by the Local Government Act, and two of the triggers required that public notice. That is, it was a lease of 10 or more years and of more than $50,000 per annum in rent. Accordingly, a public notice was placed in the Melbourne and Moorabool Star Weekly on the 3rd of April, and because the valuation had not yet been received, the commencing rent was referred to as market value valuation being obtained. That valuation took some time to come and wasn't received until the 21st of August. So in the interests of complete transparency, officers thought it prudent to place a further public notice, and that was placed in the same publication on the 25th of September, with the commencing rent now stated as $294,364.21, which is essentially the existing rent plus CPI. So in the first instance of the public notice, no submissions were received. In the second instance, 11 submissions were received, and they're summarised in the table on pages 25 and 26. Of the 11 submissions received, only one is known to be from a resident of the municipality. That's number one in the table. One is from a group based in Carlton, and that's number two in the table. And the other nine are from addresses unknown. They weren't on the submission. Some the names were able to be made out, but others the names were not decipherable. But essentially all the submissions had the same message. They were all asserting harm caused by gambling as the reason that council ought not grant the proposed lease. And of course the existing and proposed lease both allow for gaming in the permitted use. Council does have a responsible gambling policy, which the CEO mentioned in the public questions. The policy aims to minimise the harm of gambling whilst establishing a transparent and decision-making framework to guide Council's position on gambling-related matters, in particular in relation to electronic gaming machines, or EGMs, as the policy refers to them as. The policy is largely aimed at planning permits and gaming licences and those applications, but one section of the policy does relate to what it's titled as contract management, which is the granting of leases and licences by council, and says that the policy ought to be referred to in those instances, and accordingly the policy was assessed as against the proposed lease. And it's noted insofar as that the club operates as a member-based club, which is the preferred model set out in the policy. It is an existing venue, as in it's currently operating gaming machines. It's a destination gaming venue, and it operates from the lowest EGM expenditure base of all the seven venues within the municipality, despite having the highest number of gaming machines. So in consideration of all of the submissions as against the policy, the officer recommendation is as set out on page 24, and the draft form of lease is attached at Appendix 1. Council, of course, has the option to take the officer recommendation or, of course, not proceed with the lease, which would leave the existing lease in place, which, as I said at the beginning, it doesn't expire until the 28th of February 2022. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel. Does any councillor require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Idea was it to create a licensing scheme that went out to 2042? Was it Council's?
If I can answer that, Mr. Mayor, it was a proposal from Essendon Football Club, and it coincided with the Victorian State Government call for tenders for licensed gaming machine issue through to I think 2042. Anyway, it was sometime in 2040. So Essendon Football Club were in a position where if they wished to continue in the gaming industry, they needed to obtain the approval from the state government for the machines, or the license for to operate the machines, and they sought to have certainty of tenure around the venue in order to give them certainty in their application to the state government for the machines.
Thank you, Mr. CEO. So, in short, it wasn't council, it was the state government that was putting out a call for that.
Well, it was a response.
It was
a response to the commercial circumstances of Essendon Football Club, given the gaming undertaking of the Victorian State Government.
Yes. My next questions get even harder. Sorry. If the lease wasn't to be extended, would the 86 machines just automatically disappear out of Melton?
Well, my understanding is that Essendon Football Club have applied to the state and been initially granted the rights to those gaming machines. I presume if they don't have a lease on the Melton Country Club, they would need to source another venue in, and presumably in Melton, because given the state government cap, the cap relates to the location of the machines. I assume they would seek to source and would need to get planning approval, etc., VCGR approval for whatever that venue might be.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question.
Hold on. You finished, Councillor Ramsey?
One more, if I could. Everybody knows my aversion to gaming machines, but under our responsible gaming policy, which has been mentioned a few times this evening, we can't actually say no. Is that right? It's against the law, basically, to say no to gaming machines when they come in. And I'm not talking about ones that are already established, so don't growl at me just yet. When new venues come into our municipality, because of our growth and our continued growth, we're below the benchmark for gaming machines, so Melton's almost seen as a desirable place to be because our growth and the number of poker machines make it so. Do you get what I'm trying to say with that?
Mr. Mayor, if I can try and answer that, I think that's really a planning-related question. So there is an ultimate ceiling on the number of poker machines that would be allowable. Mm-hmm. It's not quite right to say that council cannot say no to incoming applications. We would need to consider it on its merits, but as the CEO has pointed out, a planning application could be made for an alternate facility that we would have to consider on its merits.
Sorry, one further. I'm going to take this on. I have been here for 18 years and I have asked several times, and the executive are fairly static, that can we write a policy that is no more gaming machines? And I have been told, as a councillor, a few times that it is not right and against the law.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think I've got the question now. We can't have such a policy that prohibits that outright. It's just not possible. We would, again, as I mentioned earlier, if there's a new venue proposed, which is not proposed in this instance, let me be clear, we would have to consider that on its merits.
Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Medley.
Mr. Mayor, I'm not sure if any of the executive can answer this, but how many employees are employed currently at the Melton Country Club, and how many of those are local?
Councillor, I can't recall the exact number, and it was provided at the briefing, but I think it was around 50, yeah. Something around the 50 mark, but the exact number I can't recall. And the vast majority are local residents, and local, I suppose, includes Bacchus Marsh, etc., because it's pretty close.
Can I just find out, if we were not to extend this lease, what potentially could happen to them and their jobs?
Well, again, that, I guess, Councillor, that harks back to the previous response, and it would depend what Essendon then decided to do, given that they have the allocation of those machines. Presumably they would run through to 2022 in the current location, presumably, and in that time develop an alternate venue which would presumably accommodate those staff, or it would require to be staffed. Again, that would be subject to permits, etc., etc. So it's really a question that I can't answer.
You're making assumptions in that instance.
Yes, yeah.
Councillor Hardy, do you have any questions?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, maybe I can help Councillor Madlick. This is reading from the Essendon Football Club mag. MCC employs over 50 local staff. They consist of full-time, part-time and casual staff. Several of our full-time staff have been employed for over 20-odd years.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy.
Salary of $1.5 million.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Does any other council require clarification?
Mr. Mayor, can I have each explain to us what the benefits of having the Essendon Football Club through the grants, what they actually give back to the community? Can you remember?
In general terms, yes, Councillor. The club provide a grants program, a community grants program that is available to local community groups, etc. They've been significant supporters over the years of a number of local youth groups, etc. They also support the Melton RSL, as they are the venue or the home base, I guess, of Melton RSL, and they support a number of the activities of the RSL. Don't have the specific details of that. They also support a number of community groups, etc., with the function facilities that they have. Again, I haven't got the specific list of details, but there are a number of local charities and community groups that receive subsidies or benefits through that process.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tony. Does any other council have any clarification? Do you have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. The council enter into a new lease with the Essendon Football Club to replace the existing lease for the premises known as the Melton Country Club for the term, including further terms of 29 years with a commencing market rent of $294,364.21, including GST, and authorise the CEO to execute a lease in substantially the same form as that attached to appendix ones in the minutes.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Do I have a second for the motion?
I'd be honoured to second it, Mr.
So moved by Councillor Hardy, second by Councillor Ramsey. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, could I call for a division, please?
Division. Division called. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kissich, Councillor Medlick, Councillor DeSantis, Mendes, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. Well, that's correct.
Mr. Mayor, on a point of reference there, the question was asked how much was donated back into clubs and also grants.
$100,000. Yep. Okay. We'll move on. Item 12.4. Okay. Options for possible sale of the premises known as Melton Country Club. Ms. Daniel, again, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to provide options to the council.
Can I just put the recommendation to be put? The report.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. Item 12.5. Responsible is motion 564 to the Organics Recovery Service. Wes Stokes. Oh, I apologise. We brought forward 16 and 17. I've been corrected.
Yes, we have.
So we'll go to 16 and 17.
I'll give them a minute.
I'm ready.
That's better. Item 1216, plan application PA 2017, development of the land, 10 double story dwellings at 8 Jones Street.
Mr. Mayor, could I please
Councillor Ramsey.
Read out an alternative recommendation that I have before me?
1216?
Yes.
Alternate motion, yeah?
An alternate motion, yeah. Sorry. And the alternate motion reads that Council advised VCAT, the permit applicant, and objector that it would have issued a notice of refusal for planning application PA 2017/5872 for the development of land with 10 double-storey dwellings at 8 Jones Street, Melton, on the following grounds. The scale and intensity of the proposal is considered to be out of character with the surrounding area, particularly the minimal separation between buildings and the overall built form and visual bulk, which presents the impression that the development is being squeezed onto the site, which is symptomatic of overdevelopment. Two, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives and the standards of RESCO pursuant to Clause 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with respect to neighbourhood character, dwelling diversity, side and rear setbacks and overlooking. And three, the proposal will set a precedent for similar inappropriate residential developments on other lots in the area.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Mr. Mayor, a point of clarification.
Go on.
Is there a review of state government where there is solar panels to install, two stories developed now are to be sighted away from the solar panels?
Councillor Hardy, what's this got to do with this motion at this stage, please? I don't understand.
It is only the state government.
Can you save it for later? Let's deal with this seconder first. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Mr.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. Councillor Hardy, ask your question if it's relevant.
Yes. The state government, it wasn't that long ago, I heard the Premier talking about the installation of solar panels and that they were looking at a proposed amendment to planning where if there was siting of two storeys or something that would interfere with the installation of the solar panels or the use of the solar panels, that would be looked at in the planning process. Are you aware of any positions or any paperwork to that effect?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'm not aware of those proposed changes that you mentioned.
3 weeks ago.
Okay. In relation to the Council's assessment of this application, which is essentially for a medium density housing development under the planning scheme, essentially RESCO standards need to be complied with, and those requirements that you mentioned aren't matters that are addressed in RESCO.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Item number 1217.
Mr. Mayor, I rise again just to be the proverbial pain with an alternative motion.
Carry on.
The alternative motion for 1217 reads, and it's in regards to the four double-storey dwellings at 16 Rosina Drive, Melton. The council issue a notice of refusal for planning application PA 2018/6320 for the development of land for four double-storey dwellings at 16 Rosina Drive, Melton, on the following grounds. The scale and intensity of the proposal is considered to be out of character with the surrounding area, particularly the minimal separation between buildings and the overall built form, and the visual bulk, which presents the impression that the development is being squeezed onto the site, which is symptomatic of an overdevelopment. Two, the proposal does not satisfactorily address the objectives and standards of REST code pursuant to Code 55 of the Melton Planning Scheme with the respect to the neighbourhood character, dwelling diversity, side and rear setbacks and overlooking. And three, the proposal will set a precedent for similar inappropriate residential developments on other lots in the area.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Town of motion moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder for the town of motion?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor DeSantis. Does any councillor oppose the alternate motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Item 1218.
No, go back now, Mr. Mayor.
Oh, back again, yeah. There we go. Keep me right. 12.5, back to 12.5. There we go. Thank you. Back to where we were. Response to notice motion 564, Phil Gannett, West Stokes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, councillors. Councillors, you recall at the ordinary meeting on 28 May 2018, notice of motion 564 was considered and council resolved that council officers explore options to include a food scrap recycling service for City of Melton residents and report back to council. The council of the Metropolitan Waste and Resource Recovery Implementation Plan sets the strategic direction for waste management in metropolitan Melbourne. It seeks to reduce waste sent to landfill, increase organic waste recovered, and deliver community, environmental, and economic benefits, and also plan for Melbourne. Obviously for Melbourne's growing population. Sustainability Victoria and the Metropolitan Waste and Resource Recovery Group have identified a FOGO service, that is the service of collecting food waste in the residential organics or green waste bin, as an opportunity to realise all four of the key strategic objectives recognised in the implementation plan. This report provided to you gives a high-level summary of the benefits and risks associated with the implementation of such a service. Councillors, I'll draw you to page 95 of your agenda, where officers have prepared a list of councils that have already implemented the curbside organics recovery service, as well as councils that are currently undertaking trials and those planning to implement the service in the next 12 months. Councillors, the report discusses in detail the lessons learnt through various trials and studies into a FOGO service, and given that FOGO is a new option, or would be a new option for Melton residents, it is recommended that the nature of the existing curbside organics collection remain as a fortnightly collection and remain as an opt-in service post-implementation. Officers will report back on any findings of community engagement sessions prior to the implementation of any service, and therefore any operational decisions, incentives or solutions to manage and encourage the uptake of the service will be determined by officers in line with recurrent budgets. The introduction of a FOGO service presents council with a significant opportunity to meet its commitments, both in the Climate Change Act with a clear alignment to council's environment plan, the Global Covenant of Nairs Agreement and the Take Two Pledge. Adequate planning and extensive community engagement will enable officers to mitigate any risks associated with implementing a service and is therefore recommended the Council agree to implement a FOGO service from 1 July 2020 and this would enable officers time to sufficiently plan and engage with the community prior to implementation. Therefore, Councillors, I put to you the recommendation as printed in your agenda and that is that Council implement a recovery of food organics in the residential green waste collection service from 1 July 2020 and that council retain the residential organics collection service as an opt-in service and retain the frequency of collection of residential green organics as fortnightly and general waste as weekly. Thank you, councillors.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Does any council require any further clarification?
I do, Mr.
Councillor Ramsey.
Just really quickly, Mr. Stokes, we've got, I can understand why we're not introducing it before 2020 and remaining it fortnightly, but I read under consultation and public submissions and it's basically what the regional body has done and then what we've done at Jarawarra Festival. But you've verbalised that we're going to continue some sort of consultation. Should that be in the recommendation as well? Because the community are going to need to be brought up to speed with what's expected and what's not expected. And I'm sure you've got that in train and that to be rolled out, but it doesn't say so here.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. That's true, it doesn't say so there. Council's Waste Services team has a role to engage with the community around the way the community interacts with all of our waste services, so it's implied that any direction from council in terms of changing service or an introduction of a new service would be rolled out with consultation and engagement with the community. That said, if council...
would you mind if we had a dot point four that said something along the lines of public consultation will take place over 2019 with the community for the change services. Mr. Tory and the executive are better at wordsmithing than I.
No concerns with that, councillors.
So would something like that council 4, 1, 2 and 3 and then 4 undertake public consultation during 2019 to socialise any changes with the community?
If that's what it means for FOGO, that's fine. So they are brought up to speed with the fact that they can put meat and other byproducts in their green waste.
That's certainly what it intends to say, Councillor. Yeah.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move that.
Mr. Mayor, I've just got a question.
Any further clarification, Councillor?
Any further clarification. In that public consultation framework, would we consider also putting out there to the community home composting and worm farming and give how that would structure to the benefit of our knowledge as being, let's say, an extension to FOGO?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, that education, I suppose, and consultation occurs now and would continue through the implementation of FOGO. People that have a mind to put their hand to that sort of thing possibly already are. However, there'd be others that haven't thought of it and would be assisted by some education on how to do that. That information exists on Council's website, but it would form part of all our engagement going forward as well.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Hardy. Does any other council require clarification? I have a mover for the motion.
Ms. Cash, yes. Happy to move that, Mr.
Councillor
Mayor.
Councillor Mayor, do you have a seconder for the motion?
I'm happy to second it, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey, does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion, declare the motion carried.
Sorry, did you oppose?
Item 12.8. There's a motion 590. Councillor The Santa's live streaming at council meetings. Ms. Daniel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to respond to Notice of Motion 590 in relation to the live streaming of council meetings. Council, at its ordinary meeting held on the 12th of November, resolved to support the live streaming of future council meetings via internet and the installation of the appropriate visual and audio equipment required to successfully run this streaming. And so now that the decision has been taken to support live streaming, the question then becomes with which method should be used. I note that there has been previous reports to this council when the question was whether or not to live stream, and this report doesn't propose to go into that question and any of those details, except maybe very briefly in relation to defamation. What this report does do, though, is update council on the three methods and the updated costs. It's a detailed report, and I don't propose to go through it in great detail. The three options, though, are option one, the self-managed solution, externally hosted, with an approximate cost of $17,000 per venue and an ongoing cost of $1,200 per month. Briefly, the benefits of that system are that it's not hosted by our own website. It's hosted by Interstream's website, so it doesn't clog up our website, and they manage it. We install the cameras at the beginning, and then it's through their website. Another benefit is that in posting the meeting after the fact, any defamatory comments, should there be any, can be spliced from the recording. And the further benefit of that system is that it can be bookmarked in the archive version that goes up. So the minute taker just takes down the time of every item, and then in the archived one, the items are bookmarked, making it easy to go to each item. Option two is a self-managed in-house solution where you would still have fixed cameras. A slightly dearer solution. We've actually taken the existing infrastructure and got a price on upgrading it with the camera. So it's, I think it's about $20,000 or $30,000 in the council chamber and $20,000 or $30,000 at the other venue. And then you use council's own website to stream it to YouTube. That has IT implications using council's own website. Not that I'm an IT expert, but that's the information I've been given. And the downside, if you like, is that in posting it up, we can't have bookmarks, we can't bookmark it, and we can't, with current staff at least, splice any footage to remove any defamatory comments, should there be any. And the third option is essentially to bring in a contractor with his or her own equipment to film the meeting. And that would be sort of a bespoke filming. They would be able to pan in on different people speaking. They would be able to, given the same information, put the bookmarked product up in a like manner. The downside, as I see it, to that is, they may not be available on any given night. I mean, we have our council meetings set out in advance, but certainly special meetings, they would have to be available, otherwise it couldn't be filmed. And that's an approximate cost of $1,100 per meeting, plus I think it was an additional $500 or so to post the information to council's website with the bookmarks. So you'll see in the report I've put various actual shots of how they look. I should say also that for the YouTube one, as you'll see on page 126, that you also get advertisements, and council has no control over what those advertisements are, and that could contain objectionable material, to say the least. And so with all that information, the recommendation is, as printed on page 122, which is essentially to engage the Interstream, so the option one solution, but to also first develop a policy and bring that policy back to council for approval, and to review the whole live streaming in 18 months. Of course, council has has the choice to, it could go with option two or three, as council sees fit. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Daniel. Does any council require any further clarification?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I want to know how I wasn't here on the November meeting when this was approved, and I want it noted that I'm totally against this proposal in any shape or form.
Clarification, Councillor.
Yes, it is. I'm getting to that. No, as long as it's noted in the minutes, Mr. Mayor, that can be okay with you. When we develop a live streaming policy, how long do you think that will take?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I wouldn't think it would take long. Other councils, approximately 42, I think it is, other councils are using Interstream, and I could take a look at their policy as a starting point, and so I wouldn't think it would take very long.
That's fine. And is there any issue why we can't review this in 6 months?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, if council sees fit, that's perfectly fine. I thought 18 was a decent length of time to sort of give it a proper go, but as council wishes.
So it works out to be at a cost of $1,260 a meeting. Is that what is before us?
I don't think I've worked it out per meeting.
The
ongoing cost is, yes, $1,200 a meeting under option one.
Yes.
Yep, after the initial cost of $17,000 per venue.
So just for even 6 months, we're looking at close to $25,000-$30,000. Well, no.
$1,200 per meeting.
The initial cost plus $16,000.
Oh, yes, plus the initial cost, of course, is $17,000 per venue.
Per venue. So you're looking. So you're looking at close to $60,000. There's something that we've got that's already working quite okay. Okay, as long as my is noted.
Any further clarification, councillors? I have a mover for the motion.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I just get a clarification on something? Can I just ask how much the podcast costs to run? Do we know what that costs every month? We have a podcast that runs live from our meetings, including the setup of the mic.
I think it's live. It's not live.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, it's not live. It's okay. Just the recording of the audio.
Okay.
It used to be live.
So
it used to be a podcast.
Yeah. No. It only wants to get recorded.
It was podcast for approximately 2 years, 2.5 years, and based on the number of people accessing the podcast, it was discontinued.
Thank you.
No further clarification. Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that, Mr. Mayor.
Move by Councillor DeSantis. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Second by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion?
I oppose the motion, Mr. Councillor Mayor.
Councillor Hardy. Councillor Ramsey. Councillor Mendez opposes, but I give Councillor DeSantis the option to speak first.
I'd just like to have most of my councillors support this notice of motion. I think it's good for our community to be able to see our meetings, for those that might not be able to get here at night time, for those with children, for those with some form of disability, or even people that just might not want to come out on a really, really cold night or a hot night, to see how we actually make decisions. And I think it's really good for people to realise how government runs, and a lot of people that I've noticed in the community actually don't know what councillors do, and that's a little bit disturbing. So I'd like them to actually see how we do this every single month, and I'm hoping that I get the support. Thank you.
Councillor Hardy.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. The community deserves the right to see how we perform. On past performance, having the podcast that was disconnected, the cost of now is $50,000 for two venues, and it's $1,200 per month. Today, it's an extraordinary amount of money.
without having first consultation. I would prefer if we went to the community and sought their advice.
Councillor Carter.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mayor, I'm thrilled that this has come before the council because I'm all about engaging our growing community, and I think that this is just another way to do that. I do agree with Councillor DeSantis. Sometimes it is hard for our residents to actually come down to council meetings, and it is easier for them just to log in and see their elected councillors at work. I'm in favour of the 18 months, Mr. Mayor, also because I believe that 6 months isn't enough. By the time you've got the message out there to the community that we are live and that this is happening, 6 months is pretty quick and it already passed by, and it won't give us an accurate, an accurate reading on how many residents are logging in. So, Mr. Mayor, I'm fully supportive of this. I know that there's many councils that have just taken this on, or that are just starting to do this now, and many in the past, because I know I've watched some. It's also a great way to advertise. I know that Moreland, when I watch them, when they have their breaks, you've got the mayor up there and advertising what's going on in the city and what programs are available. So that's just something that we could look at doing as well, getting more messages out there into the community. So well done, Councillor DeSantis, and I'm in full support of this.
Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I believe that every meeting is recorded, and anyone, whether they have a disability, where they're socially isolated, can get onto the computer and listen to our council meetings. That's something we've been able to do for a number of years. It's hardly ever utilised. I think going into the 21st, 22nd century, wherever we're at, I'm a bit of a dinosaur. I think this is an absolute ridiculous way to spend money. I'm sorry. I think when it was podcast for 2.5 years and nobody used it, it was discontinued. So now we've got a recording. If the mayor wants to advertise, he does a bloody good job with the hospital. We don't have to spend $60,000 to be able to put it in and see ourselves with a little bit of makeup and an extra 5 kilos on. You can get that from the verbal podcasts that are taken. We don't need to spend this sort of money. There are better ways in which we need to spend our money than this.
I think we saw a perfect example tonight of what the residents are prone to do in the City of Melton is that if they've got an issue, they'll come to the council meetings, and as soon as the meeting item has been finished and completed, they'll actually leave. So I'm not quite sure how many you'd actually get watching a live stream, and I would prefer to go to consultation first and get an idea of how many residents are actually interested in what goes on within the chambers at a meeting.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'm all for this. I think, and I've always said this, it's inevitable. We are leading this way towards technology, whether we like it or not. Some of us may not like it, some of us may love it. I'm a visual person, Mr. Mayor. I won't listen to a podcast, but I will watch it if I can actually see people moving and faces and expressions. That's just me personally. But could I foreshadow a notice of motion if this should fall through, that council continue to consult with the community in regards to live streaming of council if this notice of motion fails? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Very well. We have an mover. Councillor DeSantis, seconded by Councillor Carley. We'll put the move to a vote. All those in favour of the motion? All those against?
Can I call for a division, Mr.
You can call for a division. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Carley, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Kissich, Councillor Medlick. Those against? Councillor Ramsey, Councillor Hardy, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Turner, and on a Carson vote, I declare the motion lost. Councillor Mealy's foreshadowed motion.
I haven't actually written it down,
that's
Mr.
Okay.
Mayor,
we'll
so,
do it anyway.
But that council continue that council have community consultation for the live streaming of council meetings and a report be back to council in due course.
I need a seconder for the motion.
I'll second that, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Motion carried. And 12.9, sponsor resolution 591, Councillor DeSantis, advocacy relating to investment in projects addressing family violence. Louise Smith. Morihini, sorry, Mori. I was reading the wrong line.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, for that. This was tabled and endorsed by the council at the ordinary meeting of council on the 12th of November 2018, and that was raised by Councillor DeSantis. And it reads that council officers prepare a report on the opportunities to advocate to the state government to invest in projects relating to family violence, such as family violence housing and social housing within the Melton municipality. A bit of background, Mr. Mayor, in 2016, the Royal Commission into Family Violence included that family violence often disrupts victims' housing security. The current response to family violence largely assumes that women will leave their home when family violence occurs, which is pretty sad. One of the biggest barriers to finding housing is the limited availability of housing stock and long waiting lists, and the lack of affordable stock, I suppose, in the private rental market, and obviously the supply of land. There are a number of potential initiatives, and I suppose we'll just talk about the funding streams that council has discussions with the state government that could address social housing needs in our city. The social housing investment planning grants provide up to $200,000 under an application process for local governments to increase the supply of land available for housing projects. An example of that is Cadinia Shire Council, who received a social housing investment planning grant, and they received about $144,000 to complete an initiative, which really was a review of their land and potential opportunities related to council's land and investment with partners. I suppose from us as officers, we are advocating to the state government at the moment, but we need to keep on the list and write to ministers that they consider the City of Melton as a potential partner for appropriate social housing investment streams, such as Social Housing Growth Fund, and we're having those conversations as we speak. We continue to advocate, obviously, for a support and safety hub for our municipality, and that's known as the Orange Door, to be located in the city, which obviously will play a key role in helping women and children with safe and stable housing stock. And a couple of other initiatives, we are working with the state government to continue to liaise with them on opportunities for a women's refuge, and you'll hear about that more about that hopefully shortly. There's a fair bit of work being done in the background from officers in engagement with the state government for that. Just to say there, Mr. Mayor, there's a few initiatives. We hopefully are responding to the councillor's notice of motion, and recommendation is that council endorse the officers and will continue to advocate to the state government in relation to investment in family violence projects in our city. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any council require any further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd like to move that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor DeSantis. Do I have a seconder?
I'd like to second that. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Carley. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor?
Councillor Ramsey.
Could I just make a 2-second comment?
2 seconds.
Congratulate Councillor DeSantis on this status of motion, and I look forward to some great outcomes.
Thank you. Item 12.10. Mr. Heaney again.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This report again responds to a notice of motion number 595, which was raised by Councillor Keswick. which was adopted at the ordinary meeting of council on the 12th of November 2018, and it reads that council officers prepare a report as soon as possible to consider councillor briefing sessions to alternate between the Burnside Community Centre and the Melton Civic Centre, with a report to include all relevant matters, including the impact of the Burnside Community Centre and the use and the cost to implement. Obviously, as Council's aware, the centre is now open and was in construction for nearly 12 months and is now available to the community and is getting great use as we speak. That facility did open in October 2018 after much design. And also, to responding to Council's requirements in designing of the facility, consideration was also taken into account to have the option of the facility to be available for Council meetings and the necessary works that would need to occur for this to take place, and we did. The facility has a large multi-purpose room. It has a community kitchen, I suppose, and design also took into account of having a small community room, and most importantly, for the capacity to have councillors having access to council meetings and agenda discussions in that small community room. That small community room, as it's known, is about 32 square metres in dimensions, and it is adjacent to the kitchen and setup for catering purposes, obviously, to meet our needs. The small community room probably would accommodate 14 people at once. Briefing sessions, to give you an example, at the Melton Civic Centre, in our current rooms 1 and 2 have the capacity of approximately 40. Civic 2 alone has a capacity of about 21. And obviously the civic rooms next door have technology set up for briefings for officers and external parties. So I've just put down a couple of things, councillors, for you to consider on relevant matters. If we were to utilise the what's known as the small community room, I'll just call it that for the sake of a description at the moment, we'd probably need to access that from around about 4 p.m. each day to about 10 a.m. the following morning, and that's for councillors to have access, and officers to have access to that community room and also the kitchen. The reason that window's in there, that we believe would have to get the hopefully the facility cleaned for councils and officers' use and the facility cleaned the following morning for community's use. The meeting considerations is we would have to have it available for catering to councillors for briefing sessions, and we can. I've talked about the cleaning and refreshing of the amenities prior to post of briefing sessions. I think I've made that clear. We'll need to have staff resources to set up briefings, including set up of the room and kitchen and pack down, probably more the room, but we have some staff that do that at the moment, the way of our preparation of food, etc. And if we were to do that, not at the end of the world, it would obviously have reduced time for the community to have access to that. We've made some judgments on the additional cleaning dollars required to do that, and we think it's around about $2,500, thereabouts. And really what we're saying is you can do it. It would just give reduced capacity for community groups to access that room. No real big additional costs. And we're estimating somewhat 15 to 20 evenings per week for those briefings, councillors. So really the recommendation is just to note the report. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
And Mr. Hume, does any council require any further clarification?
Mr. Mayor, thank you.
Councillor Ramsey.
Has it got the facilities such as projectors? So if we need to have presentations from our staff?
Not like it has in here, no. It hasn't got the full technology. Can I just touch on that,
yep.
Councillor Andy? So when we designed this facility, the intent was at the time that, and that was before we'd made a decision on rotating every second meeting, that basically you could have a pre-agenda meeting, probably up here, and then you'd have the council meeting down there. So ideally you would go into the council meeting at Burnside, already done the hard work the week before. with our documents, but it isn't set up the same as it is Civic 1 and 2 here.
Has it got air conditioning?
It has.
Because we're going to be crammed in like sardines, so I'd like to think it's got air conditioning. And lastly, but not leastly, Mr. Mayor, will we keep like a database of anyone that inquires to use the facility? So will we know? You said there may be a slight disadvantage to community groups. Will we, if we go forward with this, will we know if there's any community groups that have actually shown an interest in leasing it on that night?
Yeah, not as much the small room at the moment, but the large room is very heavily occupied. We have booked out the large room, obviously, for the council meeting, so that's blanket booked now as per the resolution. I can't say that we've got real heavy demand for the small room at the moment, so we could cater it if council...
That's all I needed to know. Thank you.
I have a question.
Councillor Medley.
Have we looked at the possibility, because I know there's a projector in the main area there, have we looked at the availability, if we were to have every second week there, could we potentially use the bigger hall and thus... we wouldn't have to minimise how many council officers attend, as well as we would be able to use the projector as well?
We could. I suppose it would need a larger preparation time and clean-up time, being the larger room. Saying that, the larger room is very heavily utilised at the moment. That's not saying that we can't adjust that somewhat. And we could probably bring in the other technology to the small community room if we had to. So I suppose if we did trial this, we would have to schedule officers to come in, my guess is two or three at a time, no more, and we'd do that as the executive or managers.
Any further clarification, councillors? Councillor Mendes.
With the community consultation, I am of the understanding that we wouldn't be able to have external people present down there due to the size of the room?
You would be able to have external people present, but not in large numbers, I suppose it's fair to say.
Does any other council require further clarification? Very well. Do you have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Hearing all this, I'm keen to slightly... change if you accept, and wording would be council to endorse the position to alternate.
You're putting forward an alternate motion, I take it?
I beg your pardon?
You're putting forward an alternate motion?
Correct, yes. I'm sorry, I should have said that.
You've rattled in there.
And that would be for the trial period of no longer than 6 months.
This is only a report, I believe.
No, the report, yeah. I'm not in the report.
No, the report for 6 months.
No.
For council to trial. For the council to trial, sorry.
Oh, you're changing it to implement, okay. Implement a trial for 6 months.
Thank you for confusing me, Mr. Mayor.
No, you confused me. Thanks, Mayor. Moved by Councillor Cassidy. Do you have a seconder to the alternate motion?
I'm happy to second it, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried.
I'm driving for 6 months only. Every second week.
I'll be back.
Not sure. Let's trial it.
12, child safe policy, procedure and code of conduct. Mr. Heaney.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillors, this is to advise you of our obligations related to compliance with the Victorian Government's child safety standards, and which we will be tabling and presenting the policy, the procedure and the code of conduct for endorsement. Just to give you a bit of background, we're required as a funded local government to put in place a child safe have a child safe organisation by embedding mandatory child safe standards and a reportable conduct scheme. I'll talk about those a bit more. There are 7 compulsory standards introduced by the Victorian Government under the Child Wellbeing and Safety Act 2005, which are designed obviously to protect children from harm. The standards are listed on page 158. I won't read them all, but they are the 7 that you may wish to read and work through. One of the requirements of the standard, albeit have the 3 documents, is that we initiate training for our staff, and there's a large number of staff that we have trained. This report, so you're aware, Council's talked about 45% of the drafting of this report. I can tell you this evening it's around about 85% of our people have been trained and attended training sessions, and that's our goal to achieve 100% by the end of this calendar year, which I believe we'll do by either the end of this week or early next. So you can imagine a lot of our staff, our school crossing supervisors are in great numbers, and our community care people will do in large banks, so we'll achieve that. And we're also scheduling a training session for the councillors, and that's on the briefing schedule from memory. More for awareness of child safe, but also to give you a first hand of what our consultant has trained our staff on. So that's arranged for early 2019. So as I said, organisations that provide services for children are required to the child safe standards, and obviously that safety of children is promoted. Abuse is prevented, and allegations of child abuse is obviously responded to and reported, which is in the policy and more the procedure. So really, councillors, we thought this was, we want to throw a strong message here. Everyone has to do it. We believe we've been doing this work for probably the last 5 or 6 months, and there's been a mountain of work in this. Just to give you an example, we have 4 child safe officers, managers, in this that you'll see in the procedure, and we have 10 deputy child safe officers, and that's because we have so many services but a lot of services outside. The reason for that is that we can keep the awareness up with our staff to keep them engaged and understanding of what child safe is. So the recommendation obviously is to endorse or adopt the policy, the procedure and the code of conduct as attached to appendix 1, 2 and 3. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Healy. Does any council require any further qualification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
Mr. Mayor, I rise to move the recommendation or the motion and commend our wonderful staff. For as long as I've been here, children have always come first, and to have 85% compliance already is sensational, and before the new year we'll have reached the target of 100. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Do you have a seconder for the motion?
I'd like to second that, Mr. Mayor. I'd also like to give my thanks to Murray and Mountain City Council officers for doing this. It's fantastic. Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor DeSantis. Does any council oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 12.13. Ms. Mellon.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is for Council to consider the Hannah-Watts Park Precinct Master Plan. The development of a master plan for the Hannah-Watts Park Precinct and the detailed design and construction of Stage 1, which is the playground currently under construction, form part of a successful 17-18 financial year Growing Suburbs Fund application. The Hannah-Watts Park Precinct, which is the subject of the master plan, comprises of event spaces, play spaces, environmental reserves, heritage assets and sporting facilities. And for the purpose of the master plan and the staged redevelopment of the precinct, these have been separated into 8 distinct precincts, which are outlined in Section 2 of this report. And each of the precincts has got a unique set of recreation functions and user groups that utilise those spaces. Whilst well utilised, the Hannah-Watts Park precinct has not experienced major redevelopments in recent years. This has contributed to ageing and increasingly unsuitable infrastructure, a layout which does not optimally utilise the space, and it's not responding to the increased population or expectations of the Melton Township residents. The Hanawatts Park Precinct Master Plan has been developed to provide clear direction for the renewal and upgrade of this important community precinct to ensure the facilities are utilised to their full potential, do not infringe on the functionality of other users of the park, address ageing assets, and importantly, the plan incorporates community feedback. It will also accommodate the challenges of the municipality, such as population growth, by improving access to open space and, you know, creating a space for the physical and mental health and well-being of the community. The total nominated cost of the implementation of the master plan is $26.2 million. That's outlined in Section 4 of the report and has been detailed in Appendix 3. It is, however, important to note that these are nominated cost estimates only, and they're subject to the detailed design and costing as part of the stage redevelopment of each precinct and then the inclusion in the Capital Works Programme. Two rounds of extensive community and stakeholder consultation were undertaken in the development of the master plan. This first occurred at the concept stage to gather preliminary input and ideas. The second was undertaken at the draft master plan stage to provide the community and key stakeholders the opportunity to review the plan and provide feedback into the final master plan. The community consultation was promoted with on-site signage, letter drops, Facebook posts, emails to user groups, and direct invitation to key stakeholders, including the sporting clubs. And it used a range of techniques such as online surveys, on-site consultation pop-ups, stakeholder workshops, staff workshops, and individual meetings with sporting and other clubs as required. The consultation reached a large number of community stakeholders with over 300 completed surveys across both rounds and a number of face-to-face feedback meetings with groups. The master plan has generally incorporated the suggestions received through the feedback, with the exception of increased car parking and the relocation of the netball courts. Full details of the consultation are contained at Appendix 2 in the consultation report, and as noted above, there will be further consultation with each relevant user group and the community as the detailed design of each precinct develops. It should also be noted that without the strategic direction for this precinct, there is a risk that the infrastructure in the park will fail or is replaced in an ad hoc way which doesn't result in the best value for council or meet the needs of the wide range of users who utilise the precinct. It is therefore recommended that Council endorses Hanawatts Park Precinct Master Plan report contained at Appendix 1, but also notes that the final design and budget for each precinct of the Master Plan is subject to a detailed design process that will incorporate further community consultation and briefings of Council. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mann. Does any Council require further clarification? Do I have a mover for the motion?
I'd love to move this, thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor DeSantis. Do I have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I second that motion.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any Councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Ms. Mellon again. Amendment C200 to the Melton Planning Scheme, Municipal Strategic Statement, Rewrite Panel Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The purpose of this report is to consider the recommendations of the Planning Panel Report for Amendment C200 to the Melton Planning Scheme. The Municipal Strategic Statement, provides the policy foundation for the Melton Planning Scheme and provides an opportunity for an integrated approach across all areas of Council's operation and has express links with the Council and Wellbeing Plan and also the Community Vision. The Municipal Strategic Statement is dynamic and enables community involvement in its ongoing review. The MSS should be continually refined as the Planning Authority develops and revises strategic directions in response to the changing needs of the community. Council has an obligation to comply with Section 12B of the Plan and Environment Act and undertake a review of their planning scheme. A review of the Melton Planning Scheme in 2012 identified that it was completely out of date and contradicted the state policy, planning policy, and it was also failing to provide adequate guidance for the community, planners and council on how discretion should be exercised when considering planning permit applications. On this basis, Council resolved to adopt the recommendations of the 2012 Planning Scheme Review at the 26th of July 2012 Council meeting. The review agreed that a series of work be undertaken before the Municipal Strategic Statement could be rewritten, including those contained in Section 2 of this report. Those recommendations were then forwarded to the Minister for Planning. Fundamentally, Amendment C200 will deliver a revised and up-to-date Municipal Strategic Statement. It will ensure that the local planning policy framework is consistent with and underpinned by the structure and themes of the State Plan and Policy Framework. It will align the Municipal Strategic Statement, Municipal Profile and the Land Use Vision for the municipality with the Council and Wellbeing Plan and the Community Vision. It will provide an updated strategic framework reflective of the City of Melton in 2018 and beyond, and it identifies key issues that will influence the growth of the municipality. Finally, it identifies themes that will assist in the land use and development planning and decision making under the Melton Planning Scheme, specifically local policies. The revised Municipal Strategic Statement is contained at Appendix 2, with a table at page 504 providing an overview of the key changes from the existing MSS. There was significant consultation undertaken in the development of the MSS as part of the development of the Council and Wellbeing Plan 2017 to 2021 and the endorsed community vision. And the MSS is the planning tool to implement the strategic vision of both these documents. In addition, the amendment was on public exhibition from the 17th of May 2018 till the 16th of July 2018 and involved a range of notification, including the publications in the paper, online and on Council's website. Details of the consultation undertaken through the exhibition period are detailed in Section 5. A total of 9 submissions were received through the formal exhibition period, and at its ordinary meeting on the 20th of August 2018, Council resolved to request that the Minister for Planning establish an independent planning panel to consider these unresolved submissions in response to Amendment C200 in accordance with the Planning and Environment Act. On the 28th of August, Planning Panels Victoria appointed a one-person panel to hear and consider the 4 unresolved submissions, and directions hearing was conducted on the 17th of September 2018, with the panel held on the 15th of October 2018. Council officers received the panel report, which is contained at Appendix 1, on the 9th of November 2018. Panel considered all 9 submissions, including the 4 who requested to be heard, noting that they were all on discrete issues that fundamentally related to minor improvements to the drafting of specific clauses. The planning panel concluded that the MSS rewrite was a significant undertaking by Council and that it was fundamentally sound and strategically justified, and asked for only 2 minor changes, which are outlined on page 506. The panel noted that the amendment attracted a total of 9 submissions, including 6 objecting, again mostly on discrete issues that suggested changes to drafting. And they noted that no submission sought to abandon the amendment or make any substantial changes to the amendment. It is worth noting that Council has a statutory obligation to review its planning scheme. Should Council choose not to proceed with Amendment C200, then we will be continuing to operate with an outdated MSS that is inconsistent with the current Council Wellbeing Plan 2017 to 2021 and also the State Planning Policy Framework, including the Western Growth Corridor Plan and the Sunbury Growth Corridor Plan. In addition, if the amendment to revise the MSS does not proceed, it will result in a number of council-adopted strategies, policies and guidelines not being implemented into the planning scheme as intended. And if it's not supported, it would also have implications for council officers when deciding on plan and permit applications and in VCAT proceedings in the absence of an updated policy. It is therefore recommended that Council accept the panel's recommendation and adopt C200 to the Melton Planning Scheme as contained at Appendix 2, and secondly, submit the amendment to the Minister for Planning for approval. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Mann. Does any Council require any further clarification? Do you have a mover for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I have an alternate motion, and I note the report, first and foremost, the extensive work that's been done. The Council defer the proposed C200 planning amendment until Chamber meeting in March 2019. And councillors receive a dedicated briefing on C200 planning amendment in February 2019, ensuring all issues have been canvassed and allowing councillors community consultation and research if necessary.
Seconded by.
I would like to second it, Mr. Mayor. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Councillor Ramsey.
Could I seek clarification on the what's before us now?
You can.
To the officers, if we are to defer the C200 planning amendment until March 2019, I know you're dealing with outdated policies and you have been for a while. Will that change anything, or is it due to go to a minister or anything prior to that, or can we just give council some space until March?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, council can choose to defer the decision until March. I think a key thing to note is that state government are currently in the process of translating the planning schemes, and Melton was scheduled to have theirs done in February. This is because of a change just in the way that they're structured. It doesn't change the policy, so it would just mean that we would get put into the next group of councils because we wouldn't meet that deadline.
Sorry, if I can ask a further question. So what does that then mean for Melton? If we were to get it in today and have it gone through in February, what does that mean?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I'll do my best to answer that. The report details the extensive length council has been through to get the MSS to the point that it's at, that has effectively been underway for the last 4 to 5 years. And through that time, there's been extensive community consultation. There's obviously been a change in council 2 years ago, so some of the councillors around the table now were not part of that original discussion. However, there have been a number of briefings with the current council. There's been a massive amount of community consultation, which was run concurrently with the council plan some 18 months ago, 2 years ago, to ensure that we had a really cohesive piece of engagement with the community. As Ms. Mellon's pointed out, we've subsequently had 9 submissions received, which is very low for this number. Sorry if I'm going on here, but this is a pretty important topic. Most of those submissions, all but one, were from either corporations or government agencies, which is quite unusual, and the panel report findings were actually extremely complimentary of the work council had done to get it to this point. So accordingly, the recommendation is that we proceed with the amendment now. Council can defer this till March or whenever. However, I envisage that there might be some specific strategies, planning strategies that council might have some concerns with, particularly around housing density. That might be that's a separate discussion, in my view. And if council wants that revisited, we can do that, if council so direct. However, our recommendation is that we proceed now with the MSS, bring this extensive process to a conclusion, and then move on afresh in the new year. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shannon. I absolutely agree with everything you've said, and I appreciate the... But my question was, if the state government are going to be moving on something in February and we miss that vote as a result of the March... deferred till March, when then will Melton be able to be brought into line with everything? Is it going to... Is it something that can be rubber stamped a month later, or is it something that might have to wait a period of time?
Through Mr. Mayor, it will delay things. We were likely to be in the first round of the state government updating the MSS effectively for us and a handful of councils. So I guess there would have been significant kudos for us in terms of being at the leading edge of this. If that doesn't happen, then we'll be on the back burner for I'm not quite sure how long or what that might mean.
Does any council require any further clarification? No? Okay. All those in favour of the alternate motion?
Okay.
All those against? I declare the motion failed. We move on to the original motion, 1215.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the original motion.
Moved by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder? Do I have a seconder to the original motion?
I'll second it. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Medlick. Seconded by Councillor Cowley. All those in favour of the motion? Against? I declare the motion carried. Item 1218, contract number 19/012, Cobble Bank Indoor Stadium. Mr. He.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. At the ordinary meeting of Council in October 2017, Council approved the Tilden PSP precinct as a site to deliver a what was known as a 5-court high ball indoor stadium. And expressions of interest for design services took place in mid-18, with four companies selected to progress to a direct tender phase for a design services of a highball court. Council, just to give you some background, officers have taken the initiative to make a submission to the Building Better Regions Fund to the amount of $10 million towards this facility. And saying that if we were successful in achieving $10 million or part of $10 million to meet the deadline, Council will need to award a design contract, obviously at this meeting, which we're presenting to you. Council also at the same time resolved via a notice of motion, which was 597, to allocate $500,000 towards the commencement of design works for a highball indoor stadium. So that's currently approved. Just to give you some background of where we are at the moment, so currently Council provides its court usage, if you like, at the current school up on Cobans Road, the corner of Cobans and High Street. So we've been in that agreement for 20 years with the State Government and the School Council. That is due to expire, and Council has resolved the position not to extend that agreement past December 2019. That is currently a 3-court centre that Council has the use of. Just again, to refresh your memory, we have endorsed a site. That site is, so you know, on the corner of Bridge and Ferris Road, just south of what is known as the base at the moment. Council also had a consideration of this current budget of allocating $1 million, and that was discussed back in March with the councillors, and deferred that $1 million off to 2019-20. The facility that we're looking at designing, of course, is consistent with the council's goals, is ideally to have a 5-court indoor stadium that would have specifically a show court and relevant seating, amenities, change rooms and everything that's required to service that, obviously a reception area and a small kiosk cafe, and obviously the car parking and landscaping required to do it. It is a paddock at the moment, just to put it bluntly, and there would be a requirement to bring services to that site. At the same time, even though we have applied for $10 million to the federal government, Council will keep submitting grants to the state government for this project, and no doubt for many others, and we'll do that through hopefully the Growing Suburbs Fund and what is still known as the Better Indoor Stadiums Fund, which I think you can apply up to $3 million for, so we'll continue to do that. This report is really to engage or appoint the architect. On this occasion, it's to appoint the architect, which would be contract 19-012 for the design works of the stadium, and that is to award it to Mantric Architecture for the sum of $993,528, excluding GST. The tender evaluation reports can be found in the confidential section of this agenda for that contract. And obviously to delegate to the Chief Executive Officer the execution of all contract documents in relation to this contract. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Heaney. Does any Council require any further clarification? Councillor Ramsey.
Mr. Heaney said we're applying to state and federal governments for grants. The five-court stadium would cost in the vicinity of $20-odd million.
Probably 25.
Yep. So would you envisage that those dollars would need to be spent in the 1920 year?
Or part of it, depending how successful we are with grants, there'll need to be some funds in the Capital Works program.
But the balance of the $493,528 is already in next year's budget as a starting point, isn't it?
As a starting point, yeah. Right. But once you, if you endorse this contract, basically you endorse the sum that goes with it, yep.
Well, Mr. Mayor, if there's no further questions, I'd be honoured to move this.
Any further substitution, please? Can I move it for the motion?
I've moved.
I hadn't asked Councillor Ramsey, but you can move it now.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd be honoured to
move. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, second by Councillor DeSantis.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
I believe you want a second, is that right?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, it was my notice of motion, so it would have been nice to have moved it, but awesome to second it.
Yeah, would it be? Sorry about that.
Thanks.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor. Point of personal explanation. I put this in the budget last year. I've put it in the budget.
Councillor Ramsey, let's move on, please.
Thank you. Sorry.
Okay, moved by Councillor Ramsey, second by Councillor DeSantis. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion, I declare the motion carried. Mountain Recycling Infrastructure, Mr. Stokes.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move the notice of motion as per officer's recommendation.
Moved as put by Councillor Medlick. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I would like to second.
Seconded by Councillor Kesich. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Item 1220. Provision of waste collections, Mr. Stokes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move motion to move the recommendation as written, and also commend our waste department led by Mr. Stokes and also Donna Shembury, who's in the gallery, for all their hard efforts.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by Councillor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll second the motion.
Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 1221. Operation and management of recycling facility. Mr. Stokes.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move and the recommendation as put by the officers. And can I just say what a fantastic outcome that it has gone to Outlook. I'll talk about Outlook later on in my report, but heard them present to us on a conference. Fantastic, amazing, well done, Mr. Stokes. Please pass on congratulations to you and your team.
Member Councillor Medlick, do you have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that, thanks, Mr.
Mayor. Seconded by Councillor Carley. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? I declare the motion carried. 13 and 14. Yes. Reports from delegates from council.
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
You're keen tonight, Councillor Hardy. You can go first.
I don't need to, actually. Having attended the NGAA, the Council has been awarded a commendation to design the urban suburbs of the future, Melbourne City Council, the Assets Known Private Access Plan. And that is being presented, Mr. Mayor, and may I present you with the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Do you want to go first on your reports? Senior up.
Wallace, I'm on my feet. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. As I've said, attending the NGAA conference with Council of the Sanders, which I know definitely worthwhile, and Melton has been well richly rewarded. December 5th, the Audit Committee, therefore, on the 5th, is meeting with the General Manager to discuss traffic fellow. It's an ongoing issue with planning. And the Harness Racing Tabcorp grants assessment. The 8th was the Pistol Club Christmas lunch attended by many of the councillors. Thank you very much. Had a great day. And also the Aztec Golf Christmas function thereafter in the Essendon Melton Club. On the 9th was the Melton RSL Christmas function. Again, great day. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Sophie. It was a great day. And other councillors. And today was the Minjaha Al Quran Community Christmas function. Well presented and also represented from the council. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Hardy. Councillor Kasich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. On the 20th of November, it's Tuesday, I had a meeting with the residents of Caroline Springs in regards to parking and parking fines. On the 6th of the, December, I attended Caroline Springs Club grants. On the 8th of December, I attended the Caroline Springs Xinyin Shan Chinese Language and Cultural School Students Award with you and Councillor Sophie and Lara. Then 9th of December on Sunday, Caroline Springs RSL Christmas Luncheon, and on the same day Christmas carols at Lake Caroline, Caroline Springs. That's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was fortunate enough to be a part of the assessment panel for the club, and I did write out my assessment notes. However, due to illness, I couldn't attend the actual meeting due to an unfortunate stomach flu. I did attend the St. Michael's Ethiopian Orthodox annual celebration event, a citizenship ceremony, the Dennis Family Grants presentation, Tapco Park Community Achievement Awards, White Ribbon Stop Domestic Violence Conference, which I've taken copious notes, but due to my unforeseen illness, I haven't been able to conglomerate them yet. I also attended the Caroline Springs RSL Christmas Luncheon event, and joy and bliss, this Friday is the official opening of Westwood Drive, Mr. Mayor. The joy that I feel in my heart, all my Christmases have come at once. We have been waiting for a very, 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 very long time, and I am excited. Nothing will stop me, even if I get a stomach flu, I'll be there, Mr. Mayor. So the official opening of Westwood Drive in Caroline Springs is this Friday at 9 a.m. Thank you, Mr. Shannon, for you and your team to get that a little bit earlier than what we were predicting of next year, February. And since this is the last chamber meeting for this year, I would like to wish everyone that's left in the gallery, all our long-standing fans, no, thank you to everyone that's attended today at the gallery, fellow councillors, executive, CEO and the Mayor, a very Merry Christmas and a safe and Happy New Year, and God bless to everyone, and we'll see you next year in 2019.
Thank you, Councillor Medlock. Councillor Mendes.
Over the last month I've attended a citizenship ceremony, and I also went to the White Ribbon 16 Days of Activism morning, and I have to say I was extremely impressed by the standard of speakers and the content that was covered, because it actually links in really well with the conference that a number of us went to in the Gold Coast. I'd also like to congratulate Alan Perry, Dot Perry and Deb Slattery on a great job you did on the Historical Society's 50 years celebration. The photos and the whole event was an absolute walk through memory lane for me, to see people that I hadn't seen for a long time that are still around and still doing some wonderful things for the City of Melton, and to listen to the amusing speeches and the comments that were made. I'm sure that the people that were present, it brought back many fond memories for them, so congratulations on a job well done. Then on the Community Achievement Awards, it was fantastic to watch many of our young people and members of our communities get awards for various categories, and to recognise their wonderful achievements that they've done within special needs, education, just various celebrations throughout the City of Melton. But there's one thing that I actually did over the last month that I thought was fantastic, and it was a great opportunity to attend a conference on domestic violence. And I'm really impressed with the City of Melton because we're the only council that represented within Australia. And we actually have our doctor, Manjula O'Connor, present on the last day, and she actually talked about domestic violence within the coal community and the strategies that we should be looking for. And it really gave me an insight, not just as a councillor or a resident, but as a teacher as well, to things that we can be looking for that I hadn't even considered. I'd like people to consider that the start of the conference began with a very moving introduction by a lady named Carney Liddell, who was a committee member of Domestic and Family Violence Implementation Council. She's actually in a wheelchair, and she actually entered and discussed with us what it was like for her to be pregnant with her daughter Hannah, and for people to ask her what it would be like to have a what would she like, a boy or a girl, and would she like, and she thought about being a healthy baby, but she also wanted people to consider what it would be like if they didn't have a healthy baby. And that's some thoughts that left me wondering what many people would do if they were placed in that situation. We also had talks from people that have actually had domestic violence, who've gone on to actually build their own refuges and provide safe places for women and children in meditation. But something that she actually considered that I think we all should be needing to look at is providing more places for females where their children can actually be with them. And on the last day, we all participated in conference workshops. And I attended the Supporting Children and Families Throughout Domestic and Family Violence. And it talks about supporting children through the processes of family violence, what they go through when they're taken from their parents, and strategies that we can do to support children and their families. I've actually come away with a number of strategies and ideas that I can implement that I've never actually considered or seen before. So it was really good to go to a workshop that wasn't just where we were being talked to, but we were actually provided with things that were realistic that could be done and taken back to classrooms or within social services within our council organisation. Then to have Manjula O'Connor, one of our very own Melton residents and workers, present on the coal communities, it was interesting to note her conversation on dowries and how they're now becoming issues in terms of abuse within our coal community and things to look for within the children and families in those communities. So I think it's something that we should all be considering, that it's not just within the white community, that it's spread throughout all kind of cultures within our community, and that we need to be very aware of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Excellent. Councillor Cowley.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'm not used to you choosing me after Councillor Mendes. I'm
going to mix up sometimes, you see.
First time. Mr. Mayor, on the 13th of November, I attended the Reconciliation Action Plan Advisory Committee meeting. I also attended Lead West AGM on the 14th of November, Mr. Mayor, and it being Craig Rowley's, I guess, last meeting there, he has spent 8 years as a CEO of Lead West. And if I could, Mr. Mayor, I don't know if I have to move it, but if we could write to Craig and thanking him for his work over the past 8 years. So it was great to attend that AGM and get to meet some other Lead West members. The 18th of November, I attended the St. Michael Ethiopian Orthodox Church annual celebration. The 20th and 22nd, both citizenship ceremonies. The 21st of November, Dennis Family Corporation 2018 Medina Community Grants night, evening. The 23rd of November, the last shift at the Visitors Information Centre. Can I just say, Mr. Mayor, that it was quite a sad day, because when you see all those volunteers and you see the length of service and the work and the love that they had for their job, I was really blown away, and I'm happy that a lot of them have gone into other volunteering positions within our council. So I'm really pleased about that, and well done to them, Mr. Mayor. The 28th of November, Epilepsy Awareness Healthy High Tea event, Councillor Bushy's initiative, so well done to Councillor Bushy, and that was a great morning tea. The 28th of November, Mr. Mayor, Community Achievement Awards Night, 29th Early Learning Years Partnership Meeting. Can I just say, Mr. Mayor, that we had a 2018 in review at the Early Learning Years meeting, and it was great to hear from the members that they really appreciate councillors sitting on that committee and reporting back and just being there and listening to them as service providers, what they do and how we relay that back to council meetings. I also attended, Mr. Mayor, the Road Safety Memorial launch at Hannah Watts Park. The 1st of December, Carols by Candlelight, another wonderful evening. It was great that we had nice weather that night. Mr. Mayor, I also attended between the 3rd and the 5th the Stop Domestic Violence Conference with my fellow councillors, and Councillor Michelle Mendez wrapped it up. Her overview was just brilliant. I can say, Mr. Mayor, that sitting in that room, just raw, heartbreaking, informative and inspiring are just some words that come to mind with those guest speakers in there and what we've learnt and what we've taken away. But to hear that Victoria is leading the way, Mr. Mayor, and to have our neighbouring council also mentioned and the West mentioned was great, and it was really good to hear. Disability Advisory Committee, Mr. Mayor, on the 6th of December, we spoke about the Care Melton Expo and how great that was. And could I also just remind people that there is a Sports for All, which will be taking place on Wednesday, the 23rd of January. Sports for All is a fun and exciting holiday activity for children of all ages and abilities. So if you'd like any information, please come and see me after the meeting. Mr. Mayor, the 8th, I also attended the Celebration Day, and I know I'm going to get it wrong, so I'm just going to say the Chinese school, Mr. Mayor, in Caroline Springs. Always great to see those kids and for them to present to us and show us what they've learned. I also attended the Melton Pistol Club Christmas lunch and trophy presentation, and on the 9th, Mr. Mayor, Caroline Springs RSL Christmas luncheon. And could I also just take this opportunity to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy and Safe New Year. I hope I'm not running out of time, Mr. Mayor.
I think you have.
No, I have?
Okay. I think you have. I wasn't looking behind.
Oh, okay.
Mr. Beams, you know, did his job and didn't kick me that time.
Thank you, Mr. Beam. But wishing you all a Merry Christmas and a Happy and Safe New Year. And I look forward to seeing you all in 2019. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to second that motion if that
I was just
going to
say right now, we'll do it right away and just get it done. Councillor Crowley, would you like to quickly move a motion for that message to Craig Crowley to
be
done?
Yes, please, if I could.
Moved by Councillor Crowley, seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any council oppose? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. Councillor DeSantis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm hoping I don't go over my 3 minutes with a report for the Family
Violence
Conference, but you know I'm probably going to talk about it a little bit, so I'll be really quick.
That's half a minute.
Okay. So I attended the Family Violence Conference on the 1st to the 3rd of December. Can I just quickly give a rundown of what happened on that day? So quickly, many women are killed every year, estimated 1 to 2 each week. If they are lucky to survive family violence, the abuse in all its forms, physical, sexual, emotional, financial, psychological, manipulation and control, they are more than likely to develop a mental health issue such as PTSD, depression, anxiety, amongst many. The abuse can also lead to suicide, homelessness, financial issues, social isolation, etc. But something that we did all learn about is the abuse also affects everyone it surrounds, especially the children, whether they are present or not in the home when the abuse happens. We heard from some speakers, some survivors who had actually lost their children from family violence, which I take my hat off to them to be able to actually tell their story to that many people. Also, it was about intercultural family violence, and again, Dr. Manjula O'Connor was fantastic, red flagging certain issues that we should look out for in all of our day-to-day ventures and how we can assist with this. We also had a go at family violence trauma training. There was a retreat for survivors, how prevalent it is in disabilities, how Queensland are attacking family violence by police wearing body cameras when attending family violence reports. They can
see marks on the respondents' necks, etc., from the perpetrators, and they can follow up with recidivists, which has saved many lives. I'm not sure of the percentage of that, but it was quite significant. Also, there's a family violence list similar to that of a sexual offenders list that they're thinking of bringing in, which is fantastic. I can go on, but usually, the main ones are about the dowry abuse, which is, I think there was a woman is sexually abused every 4 seconds in India at the moment, which is quite out there, and some red flags that we should see within the multicultural cultural communities in our community. It was refreshing to see how many men attended the family violence seminar, and I actually take my hat off to the Mayor Bob Turner and our Executive Manager Murray Heaney for coming, because I think that's really important, and there was a lot of male speakers, a lot of male tutors, and a lot of males saying this has to stop.
Half a minute.
Sorry.
I think you've let everybody else
Bob, sorry, sure. Yeah, the Mayor was also interviewed, so that gives me another 30 seconds. So I could go on that forever, but also I did attend, I'll just quickly go through mine. Okay, so 9th of December I attended the Caroline Springs RSL Christmas Luncheon at Westwaters. 8th of December was the Mountain Pistol Club Christmas Luncheon Trophy Presentation, the Family Violence Conference. 1st of December was the Carols by Candlelight. 26th of November was the White Ribbon Day, which is 16 days of activism event at the Mountain Community Hall. Well done to Mountain City Council for doing this. 23rd of November, last shift at the Visitors Centre for all our wonderful volunteers. That was a very, very sad day. 19th to 21st was the NGAA conference that I attended in Sydney with Councillor Hardy. Friday 21st of November, Intercultural Advisory Committee. And there's plenty more, but I've just... Yep, I'll leave it at that, I think. And can I just wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year? And I'd also like for everyone just to think of those a little less fortunate than ourselves at Christmas this year. And if you can give, please give big. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In no particular order, I'll mention the carols, which were fantastic. The 50th birthday for the Historical Society. Well done, guys. You deserve all the credit and kudos. The Road Safety Memorial, thank you to Council for supporting me in that initiative, but it was great to see it finally launched, and it has been utilised quite a bit since the launch, which has been fantastic. I want to actually talk about in some length the volunteers and their years of service for the Visitors Information Centre. But before I do that, I'm going to wish everybody a very Merry Christmas. Drive safely, because I want to see you all in the new year in 2019. And I hope everybody has a very happy 2019. Sorry?
Just 2 minutes.
Mr. Councillor Turner, you haven't been fair to anybody.
I'm with you, okay.
You.
Sorry, a minute.
Were you revved up last month, Mr. Axon, for the... Because you're lolly dropping and your ironing board and your
lawnmower damage.
Your ironing and your lawnmower are fantastic, and anyone after the Jerrawarra Festival should go. But let me do my famous roll call here. Our volunteers and their years of service. Those that served 4 years were Annie Williamson, Kathy Murray, Jen Eldridge, Evelyn Major, Lauren Smith, and Roger Love. At 6 years, we have Jan Thorley and Julie Hardy. At 9 years, we have Veronica Schwartz. At 10 years, we have Heather McLean and Susan Novalija. Sorry. At 12 years, we have Barbara Frampton, Michelle Davies, Jean Hannay, and Reg Edwards, and also Rosemary Edwards. 13 years, we have Sarah's Callette. At 14, Beverly Price and Karen Goodair. At 16 years, we have Carol Doyle and Mary Magri. And at 17 years, which is about 6 months less than the entire time, or is the entire time of the Visitors Information Centre, we have David Cochran and Glenys Angleton. Now, collectively, these volunteers have been the lifeblood of our community for the last 18 years, and I wish them all very well in their endeavours, and wherever
wherever possible, I hope council utilises these exemplary human beings because they've given us decades in which... Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. That was only 10 minutes. You've done well.
We're going to have words, Mr. Mayor.
You're always having words. Come on. Okay, I'll be brief. Most of the stuff I've been to, you guys have all been to, so you've all spoken already. I must admit, I've got one. The first one in the diary is the 14th of November, Fens Botanic Gardens, Botanica Springs Community Centre. But either I wasn't there or if it's gone that fast, I can't remember. But I know they do a great job, and Jill's in the audience, so thank you for all your work, Jill. Pass our best on to your husband for Christmas. Attended with Councillor Mendes Rockbank School 150th anniversary on the 17th of November. That was a great day. It was really good to see a lot of the veterans, if you like, there that I had never. I think Cathy might have been there before us on the day. It was really good to see them there, and the kids were up performing rock and roll and stuff. It was quite amazing. 10-year-old kids doing rock and roll, singing and dancing. It was great. Attended with Councillor Carley and Councillor Kesich, the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. Councillor Carley was presiding because I was not there as such. It was election time. Last shift at the visitor center, I have to speak about that. Councillor Ramsey did that eloquently. Fantastic to see them getting a send-off. It was good. Milton Historical 50th anniversary. It was great to see the guys getting... a real occasion. It was some of the old pictures, and that was good to see them. And we've got some of the guys in today. Epilepsy Awareness Tea was also a great occasion. The Community Achievements Awards Night was fantastic. That was a real good way to do it. I think we should do that every year to present the awards before the day. So on the day that, well, it made a big occasion of it. It was really good. What have we got? Hannah Watts, the road safety launch, memorial launch was very touching. And quite a few people have come to me since that day and said they were pretty touched by the way it was done. It was really good. Of course, the Stop the Violence conference, that was right, pretty much in your face. Some of the presentations really made you sit back, especially being a man when you're hearing all this stuff, you know. It's quite confronting. But I think all the councillors that went there learnt a lot from the few days. Xinjiang Sang Chinese School. Xinjiang Sang. Yingjing Shen. In my language, I'm telling the story. You do your story. Yeah, that was... We get invited to that every year for the breakup, and it's really good to see the kids, the Chinese kids, doing the Chinese language and keeping their traditions going. We all went, well, quite a few of us went to Milton Pistol Club yesterday, the RSL. Well, actually, yesterday we had the RSL luncheon and in Milton and Caroline Springs. It was a bit of a day. And at the same time, there was the 16 days of activism also at West Waters Hotel. I sat through one of those speeches of a girl who'd... She'd left school about 16, she'd met this guy, and she'd gone through 10 years of hell with him, and it was about her, how she'd got through that, and how she was rebuilding her life again. That was really confronting. I had to leave after that one. And then, of course, probably the highlight of the week was In Church Carols by Candlelight. I must admit, to be honest, I went last year and it wasn't very good. But this year they've raised the bar from here to here. The music was fantastic. They started with a movie for the kids. Elf, I think it was. I think it was. So they had the movie, then they had the singing for about 8 till 9:30, and then they had the fireworks. The fireworks were, I believe, sponsored by West Waters Hotel, and we should get them to sponsor ours, because I've never seen fireworks like that. It was amazing. Must have cost them $30,000 to $50,000. It just went on forever, and they were really good. They did it from the lake. Other than that, I attended the Minhaj Quran Victoria. I didn't get that one very well either. Christmas invitation today, and basically it was just a get together. They were trying to encourage different parts of the community to be involved with them, and I expect to see that happening a lot. They'll be inviting a lot of councillors to different events. So that was a really good day today. Other than that, it's been a fantastic month. And once again, I'd like to say, my fellow councillors, like to wish first my fellow councillors and officers a peaceful Christmas. Let's have a nice, restful Christmas this year. And the gallery, thank you for coming. Nearly all of you come every month. I know there's not many in tonight, but thank you for coming. And have a nice Christmas. I think we'll have to throw you out, sure. But we've still got some notices of motion to do. Back to business. Notice of motion 15.1.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to withdraw this notice of motion because it pertains to the item that we already discussed in item 12.5.
Thank you, Councillor Medlick. And 15.2, notice of motion 599, Councillor Kesich.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Last year, motion is that the Council send a Christmas message of appreciation and a goodwill to all our armed forces personnel serving overseas. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kesich. Moved by Councillor Kesich. Do you have a seconder?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Any Councillor opposed? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 15.3. Notice motion 600, Councillor Ramsey.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. That officers report on options to assist community groups in publicising significant events or occasions, given that flagpoles in central Melton and Caroline Springs are only available for promoting council events.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Happy to second that, Mr. Mayor.
Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Seconded by Councillor Medlick. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? Declare the motion carried. 15.4, Councillor Ramsey, motion 6601.
Thank you. The Council referred to the 2019-2020 budget installation of traffic lights at the intersection of Brooklyn Road and Station Street, Melton South.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey, seconded by...
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, can I just mention that that's already been moved by myself. I think it was last year, maybe early last year, if Luke Shannon would like to clarify that. Is that, or an update on how we are with that, because it was already moved a while back.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I can clarify the current situation. So, based on previous council resolution, council officers have undertaken or have initiated a detailed design of traffic signals, which will include pedestrian crossings at the said intersection, and the construction works will be considered as part of the budget process upcoming over the next 2 to 3 months. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Sharon. Excuse me.
Withdraw.
We'll carry on with the motion.
Thank you.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
I'll second that motion.
Seconded by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour of the motion? Declare the motion carried. 15.5. Motion 602, Councillor Ramsey.
The Council referred to the 2019-2020 budget construction of a signalised pedestrian crossing on Brooklyn Road to facilitate access between the railway station and the Melton Shopping Centre.
Moved by Councillor Ramsey. Do I have a seconder for the motion?
Yes, Mr. Mayor.
Moved by Councillor Hardy. Does any councillor oppose the motion? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried.
Mr. Mayor, can I ask for a division on that, please?
Division called. All those in favour of the motion? Councillor Hardy, Councillor Kesich, Councillor Middle, Councillor Mendes, Councillor Ramsey, Councillor DeSantis, Councillor Carley, Councillor Turner. I declare the motion carried. Item number 16, Councillor's questions without notice. Councillor Ramsey?
Now, I don't know where I've put it, but I've got it somewhere. Could I ask, when is the report for the
recommendations in regards to the investigations for a possible performing arts centre coming to council.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to answer that. There was a previous notice of motion calling for a council report, and it's expected that that will be presented to the first meeting in 2019, which will enable budget consideration to be provided, if appropriate, following that point. Thank you.
Any further questions, councillors? Motions without notice.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, I have a Councillor Medley. That council refer the removal of both roundabouts with the installation of full pedestrian and traffic lights at the following locations: Caroline Springs Boulevard and The Crossing, as well as Caroline Springs Boulevard and Rockbank Middle Road, both located in Caroline Springs, to the 2019-20 budget discussion. That council officers report to council outlining and working with the principal of Rockbank Primary School into how council could better assist in parking issues around Rockbank Primary School with the consideration of a school crossing supervisor, and that council refer to the 2019-2020 budget the all-weather shelter for the City Vista Pavilion for the north and southern part of the pavilion facing the soccer pitch to the budget discussion. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Miller. You'll pass it over when you get a chance.
Yes.
Any other council event motion without notice?
Yes, thanks, Mr.
Mayor. Councillor Santos.
So I'd like to move that council officers provide a brief report, very brief report, at the next council ordinary meeting outlining the hosting of an annual conference or forum focused on preventing family violence. The conference or forum will provide an opportunity for other councils and service providers to attend and discuss matters around the prevention of family violence, as well as refer this to the next budget discussion of 2019-2020. That council consider allocating approximately $30,000 to $35,000 for 2019-2020 budget deliberations. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor DeSantis. Does any other councillor have a motion without notice?
Yes, I do.
Councillor Ramsey.
That officers provide a report with an update on our advocacy to get traffic lights at three different locations. They are Melton, Leakes Road and Melton Highway, Coburns Road and High Street, and Norton Drive and High Street.
Thank you, Councillor Ramsey. Does any other councillor have a motion without notice? Very well. Move on to urgent business. Any urgent business, councillors? Nothing urgent. We'll move on to item 19.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move that pursuant to section 89/2 of the Local Government Act 1989, the meeting be closed to the public to consider the following reports that are considered confidential for the reasons indicated in items 19.1 and 19.2.
Moved by Councillor Medley, seconded by
Councillor
Kesich. Does any councillor oppose? All those in favour? I declare the motion carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen in the gallery. I'm sure if you wish to stay, we'll come and see you guys, but I know it's getting a bit late. It's nearly 20 to 10. I don't think we'll be too long, though.